wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Another episode of the Gridiron Guys. A nice special one this week. Actually back face to face, aren't we, Kemi boy?
Finally, we've been waiting for the reunion and we sort of got held back last week and you've made the trip back to sunny Canberra. It's really turned it on for you this week after being in Brisbane.
Mate, it's absolutely ridiculous. It only took me 2 weeks and I was already used to sun and 30 degrees. Now I've come back and I don't even think we passed 10 since I've been back.
It absolutely stinks. Oh. But the season's heating up, so we're getting right into that.
Yeah, isn't it just? Like, it was a good weekend. I only got to see a couple of games, but I think, and it feels like it was so long ago since we watched that Ravens-Bucks game, but gee whiz, it was a good weekend, wasn't it?
It was a good weekend, yeah. We saw some good results, and I think we'll probably have to tuck into it now. Seeing as we're live, we probably thought we'd add a new little segment and new little thing that we'll have for our socials, and we're going to have, we haven't got a name for it yet, but it's going to be a beer review of some description, and we'll pick one up each week. I mean, funny story, went and picked it up and went to the shop, I had it back in 5 minutes, Simon, and I was like, the fuck is this? Who closes their store for 5 minutes, have a little break? But lo and behold, it was the bloke that lives in the complex next to me. Man walks around in shorts, and he was in, lo and behold, shorts and a t-shirt again this week in the freezing weather. So, yeah.
What's he doing at 8 o'clock? Like, he does know that Wednesday night is uni night. I know, like, that we're getting to exam season, but still, I've done some good work in November for some silly season on Wednesday nights. So I tell you what, if my guy said fight back in 5 minutes, I'd be running a chair through the door.
Oh, I was furious, and I said, oh, look, I'll give him 2 minutes. And he opened the door. He was good enough to do that. So I've gone in. I wasn't really sure what to pick, so we've gone local. We've gone the Capital Brewing Co., Canberra Special, and we've gone their current seasonal Mango Tango XPA. So we'll give that a crack throughout the episode. We'll try and think of a name for this segment. Yeah, crack it open, and then I guess we can rate this out of 5 helmets at the end, and we'll obviously put a post up with our rating, and then maybe in the coming weeks we'll get people to decide what beers we can drink each week.
That initial thoughts, it's pretty good. It's not bad. Right. Nice and mango-y. It's gone down a treat for me. This is going to go straight to the head. I'm just straight off a spin session for some absolute god-silly reason. But anyways, we try to keep ourselves fit down here at GG headquarters.
So we'll have a crack throughout the episode. So apologies if you hear a bit of ASMR of us drinking our drinks. But yeah, we'll give a review at the end and we'll post that up.
Perfect. But I suppose, yeah, should we tuck into it a bit? I mean, there's been a huge weekend. As we said, the football was one thing. But especially sort of this morning and the day before, trade deadline absolutely went wacko jacko, didn't it?
Yeah, well, there wasn't many trades, I suppose, leading up. I guess it was a little bit quiet, and then I think it was the most trades on deadline day ever. So I think there was 10 trades that went off today, but I suppose before we came in, we know the trades that went out. We saw, who we see, James Robinson go to the Jets, and we saw CMC get picked up by the 49ers. But yeah. Was there any that you liked today that made sort of big splashes?
The huge one that I'm still trying to wrap my head around and understand is the TJ Hockenson to the Vikings. I mean, look, TJ is a great player, but I think the thing that stands out with this most of all is it's an in-division trade, which you just don't see. Like, it's just, it's mind-blowing because, one, why would you give someone to in your division who's good because they're just going to flog you twice in a year? Or are you hiding something that, you know, this guy's got an ACL that's basically half torn and he's going to pop next week? Like, that's what I'm expecting because it's just why. And I think especially in the NFC, where are they, South or North or something
North,
like
North,
that?
Yeah.
This hasn't happened since like the 80s or the 90s in individual trades. So like this, that's why I'm wondering what's the underlying thought of this one.
I guess my only thought is I think he's been, well, that's his fourth year. So they'd have to pay his either fifth year option or they'd have to renew his contract. So maybe they don't see long-term or longevity in the contract with Hockenson. I mean, Hockenson's a gun. I rate him. I think he's very good.
He's been their top receiver for the last couple of weeks.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, Amon Ra's kind of gone quiet, which is hurtful for our fantasy, which is disappointing. But, I think, to me, money's the biggest factor because you don't trade in division and a guy like that to a team that's contending. They're 6-1, and they could fight for a Super Bowl, and you've just made them better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what, adding them to a guy like Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins, like, that's just weapons in the duffel, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Just looking at a couple other ones, I suppose you'd be pretty disappointed. We heard all the rumours of Judy Chubb getting traded if you lost. Now, he didn't lose. Did what you needed to do in London. We'll talk about that later. But Bradley Chubb to the Dolphins.
Yeah, look, it's really just the Von Miller 2.0. So everyone put your money on the Dolphins to win because they're just going straight to the Super Bowl. This is Von Miller 2.0. Obviously, I think a big thing is money potentially as well.
Yeah.
I think he's been in there for about 4 or 5 years, so maybe even longer. But I think it's just unfortunate the way this thing is all finished up. You know, when we signed Chubb, picked him up in the draft, sorry, this was supposed to be him, Vaughn, two-headed beast.
Mm.
And you could see it come in flashes. Guys would either be injured on or off. But when they were together, they were fucking unreal.
Yeah.
And the only problem was the fact that they had to play basically 90% of the game because our offense has stunk ever since we picked him up. You know, that was after, that was straight after the Super Bowl we got him, I'm pretty sure. So we had no QB for those last 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And the guys have just been run ragged. So I think, you know, they've certainly earned their money. But it's just, you know, it's always sad to see these guys go, especially when you basically pride yourself on defense.
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose when you drafted him, he was such a high talent out of NC State, and you thought, this is a long-term player. This is, yeah, well, Von Miller was there, he left, and, you know, this guy's just going to be the replacement, not replacement, but you know what I mean? Like, he's going to be there for a long time, yeah. Probably never going to let go of him, but Dolphins have made a splash. I mean, we said today they've turned Laramie Tunsil, whatever they got out of that, or traded.
It was like 3 first-rounders.
Yeah,
or,
it was something crazy.
2-1 or something. Yeah. And they were hooked up to some pretty bad teams as well, so they ended up getting a lot more value out of it as well.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think it's linked to the Texans and someone else. And so they've got, what, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Bradley Chubb out of it now. They've also picked up Jeff Wilson. Not a huge pickup, but it's something that improves their running backs, which is fine. It makes them dangerous. A couple of other teams that I suppose are contenders that we're talking about that made trades. Nyheim Hines to the Bills. Yeah, their run game's not that great, but I think Hines is pretty mid. I don't know if he's going to get better with a better team, but I didn't rate this trade that much.
Yeah, is he mid because he's been sitting in the shadow of Jonathan Taylor? Like, let's be honest, it's hard to overshadow that guy.
Yeah.
But for the Bills, you can see that they've never really run a big run game anyway, so I don't think they're looking for an all-powerful guy to shoulder the load.
Yeah.
So if you get a mid guy that can come in and punch through every now and again, I think that's a win for them, to be honest.
Yeah, oh yeah, look, it is a win for them, and I don't think they gave up too much to get him there. So, look, it's the strong get stronger, the richer get richer.
Yeah.
Just looking across the board, Kadarius Toney, we saw that one to the Chiefs already. Mm. Claypool to the Bears. So, essentially, we picked up Roquan Smith, which I think was a great trade for us.
Huge.
Because we're only paying $70,000 of his salary, but next year it becomes an issue because his contract's up, Lamar's contract's up. One of them probably doesn't want to get franchise tag. That's going to cook us. But the Bears got back Chase Claypool and essentially used that second. So I don't know. They didn't get much in return for Roquan Smith. I don't think Claypool's that great. But I was happy with our pickup. The only other one I saw, Calvin Ridley. I actually like this trade. Jaguars picked him up. They'll get him next year when he's back. He'll be wide receiver 1 or 2 with Christian Kirk. I think that's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty funny though. Like, you look at the irony. You messaged me today about it. Like, the actual game that he got suspended on was he was betting on the Jags. And
yeah, it couldn't be written any better, could it?
No, love a good script here. So it's been crazy. I think, touching back on the Clipper one, what are your actual thoughts about that? Because, I mean, obviously, he's not going there to be an amazing wide receiver because he's not going to get thrown the ball, let's be honest.
Well, no, that's exactly right. I mean,
like, is it a jersey sale pitch? Like,
well, yeah, well, that's it. I suppose we're looking at Justin Fields and potentially a new quarterback next year, because are we pretty keen on them
taking building? For Bryce Young, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so we are. So they're building around that, and I suppose they can get a proven receiver for not a whole lot, and they'll probably potentially pick up, I don't know what picks they've got for the draft coming up. Maybe they're collecting a few more and they've got a lot of cap space. I think that's the biggest thing. They've got a lot of cap space to make.
Free agency, they can make a splash.
They can make big splashes. DJ Moore is going to be available, I reckon. There's going to be a few others that are going to be floating about there that they could really dig in deep with, but they're not going to be around Justin Fields. It's got to be someone new.
No, he's on the way out. So, but it's a huge trade period. I mean, it's always fun, isn't it? And it just went bananas. I think you mentioned a little bit of fantasy. I just want to touch on this. Huge couple of weeks for us in fantasy, wasn't it? Oh, just amazing. Look, we've been riddled with injuries. And I think, look, we're in a competition with a few other podcasts around, the Aussie NFL Fantasy Show, Manjot, you know, a few of those other guys. Sorry, name escapes me. But if you blokes are listening right now and you thought that we were down and out, fucking check yourself, because we are back. 2 in a row, baby. We are absolutely screaming through. We have Jamar Chase, Cordarrelle Patterson, and I think Keenan Allen on the IR. And you think, and we are still flogging you, cunts. Like, we're coming for you.
Yeah, look, we're back. And there's a few guys that we need to fill a few spots this week. We've got a few. The bye is really going to hurt us, I think. Nick Chubb's out this week. Fryman's out. Tony Pollard's out. So there's some points we're going to struggle on. The Bucks defense, they've still been decent. They still get takeaways, but they're struggling a little bit, allowing a lot of points. So may have to revisit that, but yeah, the IR is looking pretty poor for us at the moment. Once they're back, we're back.
Oh, that's going to be huge come finals time. So remember, boys, listening, we're coming for you. You think your podcast and you guys know what your shit is, we're coming for you.
Absolutely. You're absolutely flawed. Yeah. All right, so I guess this probably brings us to week 8, and we mentioned where that kicked off, and I think Ravens-Bucks, what did we think of that one?
Yeah, massive game. And I think the biggest thing about it was we were talking about at the time was the Ravens really didn't trouble the Bucks for that first half. And it was all to do with the run game. And you saw because they tried to, they got lucky. I think that first half, the only points they scored was off that muff punt.
Mm.
And by the way, you're going to start seeing more of those muff punts.
Yeah, definitely.
That's 2 weeks in a row.
Like, we saw it the first time. We like, that is just a genius play. And it's been done again. And you're right. I think we will see more of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah. So anyways, going back to that, you guys kicked the field goal and the Bucks ran up a bit of a score. Look, the fact was, you guys come out of the halftime and you just truck nut and you just showed how petty the Buccaneers' run defense was.
Yeah, we really turned it on, and I suppose we looked at this afterwards and Harbaugh said in the interview and backed up by a few players saying, oh, they wanted to go out there, spread the offense with passes. I mean, Lamar threw 30 times in a half. How often does he throw 30 times in a game? I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. So it could have been the game plan, but I think that's a bit of smoke and mirrors. I don't know if he's sort of just trying to make things up there for a lackluster first half, but it did work in the end. The second half, we did come out, we ran well, and scored enough points.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's leaning on what Lamar is good at. I mean, that man can run. He's elusive. You saw that they had to run the spy as well, so that they were never able to commit, you know, those extra guys on the defensive line, and that really was their undoing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think losing Shaq Barrett in the game to an Achilles injury, actually, in the end. So, look, it's unfortunate for the Buccaneers. I think 3-5... They didn't make any splashes. Their team's still good on paper, but they can still win their division. Their division's really weirdly contested. I suppose we can talk about that a bit later, but this season where we saw it going this season.
Yeah, I mean, we just didn't see this coming. I thought, maybe we thought that Tom was timeless. You're really getting high on his supply because he was running it. But obviously, we know the things going on behind. They're probably affecting him more than they want to say.
Yeah, that's true.
But you could show that he is still playing quite well. Like, he has one of the quickest release times in the league. Like, it's ridiculous how quick he got that ball. Like, you guys were not able to pressure him at all.
No, that's right. And with that one he uncorked to Mike Evans, that was just fantastic.
Oh, and you could also see what the Bucks were good at. Like, and what they're good at and what they've won over the last couple of weeks is those long throws to Mike Evans. Like, it's ridiculous because he can just absolutely burn your corners and Brady can release late. And it was fortunate that a couple of them did get missed. And I think some of your cornerbacks, you know, those young guys, Kyle Hamilton, and, you know, Isaiah Likely on the offense, those guys played well out of their skin.
Yeah, we'll talk about a couple of them later. But yeah, the boys are starting to turn up, and I suppose we're seeing a few guys step up in the absence of a few others, but our defense is going to be pretty scary once we get a few guys back. I saw we got David Ojabo, who hasn't played yet, potential first-round pick that did his Achilles and fell to the third, and Tyus Bowser's back. So look, we're getting strength to strength. Defense is probably going to be the one that's going to get us to the playoffs.
Yeah, hopefully. So looking at the next slate of games, you know, as we sort of said, we mentioned this on the socials actually, we're 20, 30 odd games or whatever in straight in a row. So it was just football after football. So we got to roll into that one and then we rolled into the next game. So look, Broncos took on Jags overseas in the London game. Clearly the airplane stretches work because we just were able to eke over the top of them.
Yeah, I actually haven't caught any of this game, but yeah, look, you did what you did. It's weird. Latavius Murray is one that's been actually pretty good for you.
Mm.
We didn't know what was going to happen with your running game once you lost your boy, and he's actually been pretty decent. He was all right for us last year, and he was pretty good for you guys this game. I don't know what's happened with the Jags. They started pretty hot, and then people were getting around him, and then we thought, oh, geez, they've done pretty well. Travis Etienne's showing out, which is fantastic for them. That bodes really well, but the Jags have fallen off pretty heavy.
Yeah, well, I think, again, it's still a bit of Trevor Lawrence, like year two, sophomore season type stuff. He sort of comes in hot and flushes, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And you can see it this game. When you're pressured against a really good defense and you don't have enough time, you make poor decisions. And that's what he did, I think, over in that game. But and I think in those instances, they've got to really rely on running the rock, which they did. And I think it was still a close game. So I think flip of the coin, they could probably come away with that one.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it's on your rookie quarterback. And well, not rookie, but second year, but still, I think he's young. He's coming better. He's getting better. But it's just against those higher echelon defenses that he's still going to have that trouble.
Yeah, he's having issues. He's still throwing picks. And look, he made it out of that, but we do see a future for him. The next game on my list is Falcons-Panthers. Oh, massive game. PJ Walker's been fantastic.
Ridiculous.
I think he threw one of the best passes, touchdown passes of the season.
Mm.
DJ Moore caught a nice touchdown at the end, took off his helmet, forced it back a little bit, which made them miss the point after touchdown, which took it to overtime, and they did not win the game. So, I mean, DJ Moore looks like he didn't want to be there already, and now he doesn't want to be there even more.
Yeah, look, it's cruel, isn't it, some of those celebration rules? They just can't, they come back to haunt you. And, I mean, you feel for him, because at the heat of the moment, like, you really just want to get down and, you know.
Oh, correct.
Mate, but he played well. How's Foreman? How about the form of Foreman? Like, as much as PJ Walker's been good, Deontay Foreman, holy crap.
Well, that's what we thought. We thought once CMC's gone, or when he's been injured, but Foreman was one out of Texas that hit his straps there for a bit, didn't go too well in the draft, and we thought, oh, his career's hasn't been fantastic, but, I mean, he went to the, was he, Texans, I think, initially?
Mm, initially.
Yeah, and then now he's there and getting the chance to relish in his RB1 role, and he's been awesome. I think they've sort of found someone that's going to fill that hole who hasn't been paid too much, and then they can go forward into next year, because they're going to, it's going to be a bit of a clean out, I suppose, there, and they're going to have to build around someone else.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's interesting. Like, we probably talk about Baker and those sorts of things, like Sam Darnold, and then those guys.
I
think so,
Matt Corral, don't
they? I think long term it'll be Matt Corral. Like, you sort of look at them, I think they've got a couple of wins on the board, don't they? So they're not going to be too low down enough to get a good quarterback, I think, next year.
Yeah, maybe not.
But, I mean, even with a guy like Matt Corral, you could just go get another quarterback as well. Like, it's not like I don't think they paid too much for him anyway in the draft. You'd be happy with that. But I think we're going to some other games. Cowboys dust the Bears. Like, that's the end of the Bears. They're done.
Yeah, Bears are done. They traded Brock Hunter to us, picked up Claypool. There was one thing that I saw, Justin Fields. I think it was a turnover or something like that. He jumped over the player and let them just run in for a touchdown or something like that. Like, he just jumped over the guy and didn't even...
That's right. He didn't touch
him. He wasn't even a football block. He didn't think his football game. Any player there with his wits. I know you don't want to get hurt, but you made the touchdown.
That wasn't even making a get out hurt. That was just, like, just trying not to get tangled up. So, interesting to see him. But the Cowboys, Dak, he's back. They're running. Tony Pollard was huge in that game, wasn't he?
Oh.
We've loved drafting him, obviously, but... showing out, and it sort of puts the question on whether Zeke will come back and be RB1, doesn't it?
That was going to be my question to you just then, and I think you've asked it. And yeah, do they move on for him? I think, I don't know what contract he's still sitting on or where he's sitting, but like, they're going to have to move him on, I reckon. I think Pollard's taken that role.
Yeah, and he's just way more versatile, isn't he?
Oh, he 100% is more versatile. He's good in the, like, I suppose they're both pretty good in the receiving game, but Pollard seems more polished. And we've talked about Zeke falling off each year. Each year he's regressed.
Well, he's back injured again now,
first two
isn't
seasons,
he? Yeah.
Well, that's right. First two seasons were unbelievable, and we thought, shit, here's the future year. Him and Dak, but yeah, Zeke's just gone. Not just a little bit worse each year.
Yeah. Look, moving on, a couple of other big close games. Look, Dolphins-Lions. I think, again, Lions only sit with that one win, and I think we mentioned this before, like, they are really a good offensive team.
Mm, yeah.
But it's their defense that is absolutely shit ass at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, well, for a couple of weeks we thought, oh, crap, man, maybe the offense is gone. They scored next to no points for 2 weeks after the first 4 weeks of flying. They found a bit of form again, and that's fine. For me, they've been a little disappointing. I thought I'd expected a little bit more out of them this year. I thought they would probably sneak away with a few more wins than they have. They've sort of had a few close losses. To the Dolphins, I still don't think it's a bad loss. Tua played pretty well. I thought Tua looked really comfortable. And I don't know if they do you think they challenge the Bills with their acquisitions now?
Yeah, 100%. I'm backing the Dolphins. Like, I really think they're a good dark horse at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, you look at them, you looked at the way the line just protected Tua this week. He had as you said, he just had so much time. He looked really comfortable because he just had a perfect pocket. And you're not going to get that every game. Sure. No. But I think if you can make that most weeks, you're sitting very pretty.
Yeah, oh, look, they're looking really good. They've got the best wide receiver duo in the league.
Easy.
Yeah, easy. And Tyreek's just so, I think they've made some really good moves in the offseason, and they could go deep.
Yeah. I suppose a couple other games. Look, Raiders are just, fuck this shit.
Dog shit. Absolute shit. Like, there's nothing I can
make it make sense. Make it make sense. No, like, why are they so bad?
Well, yeah, why are they so bad? Saints have not been good, and they... I think we posted something about it. The Raiders didn't make it over halfway until like a couple of minutes left in the fourth quarter. That's pathetic.
I mean, you let Alvin Kamara score 3 TDs. And like, we're a big fan of Kamara, but absolutely. I've always been. But like, he hasn't played a good game for 2 years.
No, Well, we had him last year, and I suppose we were just hoping. There were some games where he felt like showed out, but yeah, he hasn't had that consistency. He really has lacked the consistency. Mm. I suppose they put his name on the trade block and he's played well.
Yeah, that's all it took. Look, Vikings beat the Cardinals. Patriots got over the Jets. Mac being back. Eagles, they're absolutely controlling that division, aren't they? They take another win. They're undefeated. I think it's getting closer that you've got to say these guys are the best team in the NFL almost.
Yeah, they are. I think we've banged on about Jalen Hurts and that's their weakness. But it doesn't matter the quarterback that's under center when, I mean, I saw photos today, like the pocket, and you talked about Tua's pocket before, this man plays with so much space and so much time. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, he's got so much time to make any of these plays. Any good quarterback in the league would be dominating. So their line, I think, is really creating a platform for them. And their wide receivers, I think their wide receivers are fantastic. We'll talk about AJ Brown later, but the Titans really cooked that, didn't they?
Like, I think they did, didn't they? Like, yeah. Like, you can just see how good he is. The Titans had, what, Julio Jones, AJ Brown last year, and they were able to do absolutely nothing with it.
And what, they turned that into Traylon Burks, who we've seen absolutely beautiful from. So, yeah, well, that's right. Like, it is laughable because Titans, I mean, we'll talk about them in a minute because they're the next game we're going to talk about. But, I mean, they played against the Texans, who the secondary is okay, but Derrick Henry, the daddy of the Texans, that's all they relied on because Willis can't throw, Tannehill's injured, so they're cooked.
No, and I think that really proves, I know I was not on Willis at all. I absolutely did not rate him at all in the draft. Everyone is absolutely splooging in their pants for him. And he comes out and he's throwing less passes than Justin Fields. Like, he threw 10.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're throwing less passes than Justin Fields, you must be rubbish.
Yeah, well, he completed 70% if you include the intercepts. So it's not as if he's inaccurate. He just doesn't throw enough. But yeah, look, yeah, Derrick Henry, and he's obviously going to be one of our offensive players of the week. I think that's his fourth game of 200-plus and two TDs against the Texans. So, I mean, if we bet on that next time, it won't happen. But that's fine. Yeah, that game, I think, was closer than we thought. The Titans were good value. We got on them for a multi. We'll discuss our bets a little bit later on.
Yeah, I suppose we're making them a little bit of money, haven't we, lately?
We have. Oh. We may as well talk about it. So we started, because we're doing it live, we want to buy a setup. We've seen everyone else buying new setups and thinking, fuck, we could do this. We could buy ourselves a nice little roadcaster.
Yeah, let's be an average podcast with a roadcaster. All the gear, no idea type
That's stuff. Right, correct. Yeah. I mean, we may as well jump on the bandwagon with everyone else. And we thought, well, why should we pay for this? We want to win bets. And, I mean, that never works. You always end up putting in more than what you're going to win. But we've made a few fancy little bets, and we got ourselves up to, I think we're in the 800s for a little bit. There's a few guys that were joined our blacklist, and Toledo, sorry, Baby Flint, that's one of them after last week.
Yeah, casting the cross.
And this week, Kent State can get absolutely fucked because we had them for overs today. I mean, because there's so much football on at the moment, we're just going to bet on anything. I do suppose we could give a special shout out to the Wing It podcast. These boys have been punching you out. They make a lock every day for the NBA, and then when there's probably a Thursday night or a Monday night game, they'll put the NFL in there. But they're killing it at the moment. Tick 2 of 2 today, and because we put our own little spin on it, we lost. So
we like getting ahead of ourselves, don't we? I think that's probably the biggest issue.
We
out to the Wing It, and also shout out to Betr for absolutely destroying the betting market and forcing Sportsbet to give us so many bonus bets.
Correct. We've only put in $20 each, and that $20 would have got us nowhere because we've been up and down. But bonus bets have flown us home. We're nearly up to the 1,000 mark. We're sitting at 700 at the moment. I think we probably just need to get a little bit more before we end up buying our little special setup.
I think as no doubts, we probably should stick to the NFL because that's what we're good at. It's the dabbling into the NBA and other stuff that has hurt us. I think Champions League was a bit of a rough one the other week too.
Yeah, we were robbed. But that's totally fine. That happens in gambling, and that's why the house always wins. I suppose we'll go on to our next game. Commanders Colts.
Don't even talk about it. Don't even worry.
I mean, yeah. Two takeaways from that. Heineke's actually pretty good, and the Colts are dead. I mean, they're ruining Jonathan Taylor's career. He doesn't even look that good now.
Nah, not at all.
So, yeah, we can skip on that game. That's fine. 49ers Rams. There's only one thing we need to say here is CMC.
Yeah. I think we talked about, like, last week, I wouldn't have called it a false start because you saw when they used him, he was quite explosive and he got out really nicely. But it was just like where and how they wanted to use him. And this week, they figured that out. And I think a guy like Shanahan, he's got the playbook to use him properly.
Yeah, that's a big takeaway from this week is Kyle Shanahan, CMC. I think he's got the tools in his belt to make sure that like CMC is utilized properly. And, I mean, the offensive weapons now, we look at Ayuk's good, Jennings is actually pretty decent, Deebo Samuel, Kittle, and then you add CMC to the mix. Like, I think two of the guys with the tightest pants in Canberra right now, Manjot and Ben Hughes, shout out, will just be loving this because the blood has... I mean, we haven't heard from them in a little while because the blood's still getting back to their head after the bones that they've had.
Yeah, I know. And you look at them in their division, like, what are they sitting at? 4-4, I think. But yeah, they're still in with a good shout. Like,
yeah, that's sitting? The weirdest division, yeah, I think, this year. We're
just one behind the Seahawks. That's but, right, yeah, look, 4-4, they've got the win over the Rams, too. So that basically eliminates the Rams. Like, they're done. They're not repeating. They may not even make the playoffs after the Super Bowl.
Well, that's right. San Fran are 3-0 in their division. And that's I mean, if that comes down to the tiebreaker, they're going to win that. Because 3-0, like, no one's catching that. Seattle is the one that we just had no idea about. No. The game's coming up in a second. But I'm still blown away by what they've done this year.
Yeah, and I think it says a lot, like, moving on to them, they beat the Giants. So, again, probably a Giants, probably a bit of a fraud 6-1 team, to be honest, out of all of the NFC East teams. Yeah. I think they were probably, you know, it was a... Oh, excuse me, there's that mango up here, XPA coming up. I hope it didn't smell that great, but anyways, that's all right. Look, Daniel Jones, we sort of knew he had a bad game in him. Not that this was a bad game, but it wasn't a good game either.
No, it wasn't a great game. Seattle, it kind of was a slow game. It took a while to get going. But Geno being Geno, Geno is playing at such a level at the moment, and he's got the weapons around him. They're just looking great. Like, overall, like, this team, and well-coached.
Pete Carroll's amazing, isn't he? It just shows that he was the one obviously pulling the strings back in the day. Minus the not running Marshawn Lynch in the Super Bowl. Other than that, he's been flawless with his play calling, hasn't he?
Oh, he's been excellent. And I think it's coming to show here that they've just drafted sensationally. They've got weapons around him, and Geno's playing at a level that we never saw anywhere else.
Well, I think it's amazing because you know what Geno said at the start of the year?
Mm.
He said, I'm just not going to throw interceptions anymore. Football
is as simple as that.
Could you believe this?
Correct. Oh, I mean, he's worked it out, and it only took a few years and moving to the West Coast to finally decide, oh, I don't know how to play football now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, Seahawks looking good at 5-3. Tariq Woolen still looking a very good chance for defensive rookie of the year. He's just playing strength to strength. And we move on to the Bills-Packers, who won us a bit of money. The Bills, we took a -6.5. The line, they actually didn't make the line of 10.5, but the Packers didn't make any trades. I think Packers fans are going to be furious. They didn't make any difference or any trades in the market, and Bills looked comfortable. The game was very very aggressive, that game. I think Diggs, Jair Alexander, and all those corners and wide receivers were just going...
Yeah, they got stuck into it, didn't they?
They did, yeah. We enjoyed that. Jair Alexander, it was a bit of a weird one for me. Like, they lost the game. Yeah, he was locking them up a little bit, and he was winning the battles. But, yeah, it's a weird one for me. You're still losing, so... Kind of make, I don't know, you're not making a fool of yourself. Yes, your game's not one on one. As Dick said, it's a team game.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. You're out there on an island, those guys. Like, to be a defensive back, you've got to be cooked in the head for one. Because, like, true, why wouldn't you just be a wide receiver that can go score the touchdowns and get all the glory moments? Like, you basically get shit on every week. Everyone is, it's like a goalkeeper, you know. It doesn't matter how many times you save it, it's the ones you let in that everyone remembers.
Yeah, correct. It's actually the hardest position. Oh. I think it's probably one, outside of quarterback, that is one of the toughest.
You've got to be tapped to play it too.
As you said, you could play unbelievably all game, you give up one huge burner, and you're just on highlight packages everywhere.
Yeah, well, I'm in poor old Eli Apple.
Well, that's right, yeah, exactly. Like, you're playing pretty serviceable, and then, yeah, we saw that he got burned. But, yeah, look, Bill's going strength to strength. They've picked up Naeem Hines. I'm curious to see how the battle goes with the Dolphins for the East, because that's still up in the air.
Mm. So I think looking at the AFC, it's coming through the East. Like, I like the Chiefs, obviously, and the Chiefs will be the Chiefs.
Yep.
But for me, Dolphins and Bills are the more explosive ones. I think between the two of those, that's where the AFC is coming through.
Yeah, yeah. And then look, you've put a line through the Ravens, but I think we'll bounce back. We've lost to those two teams.
So I didn't put I put a line through. I stand by this. You won't win. I don't see you winning the championship. I cannot see you playing championship caliber. You may make playoffs and make a week. But
yeah, we'll make playoffs because I think we're not... Yeah, you look, I think...
Your division's fucked. Yeah, look at it.
We will make playoffs. We're playing teams now with not a winning record. We're getting players back on defense. I think that's the biggest thing. I think we're still going to struggle to have our offensive issues, but our defense probably could be lights out. We might be repeat the 2000 Super Bowl.
You never know. You just never know. Look, and rounding it off, as you said, your division is topsy-turvy at all. I mean, I was so confident on the Bengals. Like, we would be sitting here with a roadcaster if the Bengals had won.
Well, yeah, that's right. Well, look, yeah, I wasn't as huge on them, so I ended up... You wanted them with a line. And they
I thought they were going to come home and absolutely flog these people.
Yeah, and I took them +3.5. I thought, it'd be a field goal in it, but They got absolutely pants. Like, Burrow looked like absolute shit out there. Brissett outplayed him. Chubbett killed it. The Browns' defense was excellent. Absolutely excellent, because Mixon got no run game going.
No.
And the passing game was lackluster without Chase. If they had Chase, I still don't know if they win that game.
But... yeah, I don't know. Like, this is because every time the Bengals don't have Chase, they've seemed to really struggle.
Mm.
And I mean, does he really? It's that big question. Like, does he really make that much of a big difference? And I think maybe not. You think, oh, if you lose a wide receiver, you know, just maybe move to the run game or something. You know, you've got some other pretty good guys in there, like sort of Higgins and that.
Mm, yeah.
But obviously, I think it's sometimes those guys are just such like. Even physical and mental presence that they provide on the field, and they can just drag attention away from somewhere else at least, regardless.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what opens up the other game.
It does, yeah. I think their struggles were still glaring in terms of what the Bengals' struggles always have been. 5 sacks, 1 intercept, and a fumble. There's the issues there. Like the line,
it's the line.
Correct. The line cannot protect Burrow, and he's scared. Like he's playing like a man scared. Like once he gets going... and they've got a good momentum and they've got a roll on. Like, he's unstoppable. He is very good. But as soon as there's a bit of pressure, there's a bit of, like, no time in the pocket, they're done. They're done for.
It's only 2 years removed from an ACL, so...
That's
like,
right, yeah, it's true.
You know, it's not out of the realms of possibility that he's still worried about that. And, I mean, look, they do need to fix that up, and that's what's going to bring them to the next level. I think, look... As I said, out of your division, everyone just keeps taking wins off each other except for you guys.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to come out pretty easy. And Bengals, they may not even make the playoffs looking at them now. Like, Chase is gone for 4 to 6 weeks, so you just...
Yeah, flip of a coin there for me. I wonder if there's a bet on that we can have a look at.
Because yeah.
I'd be curious to see if they do make it in the end. But, yeah, look, that wraps up week 8. Things are going well at the moment. We're probably halfway through the season pretty much now.
Next week 9, that's the midpoint.
That is the midpoint. Actually, yeah, I suppose now we play 17 games. That is now the midpoint coming up. So I guess, does that move us on to awards?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. Look, same as always every week, the awards were coming through. They'll be on the socials for you guys to vote, and we'll get stuck into it. But look, who did you have of Rookie of the Week this week?
I couldn't go past my own man, Isaiah Likely. 6 receptions. I suppose Mark Andrews went down, and there's our number one receiver gone. Bateman was out. We need someone to step up. The
chips were down too. You guys were losing.
That's right, yeah. We couldn't get any pass game going, and Likely had a good preseason, and then we hadn't seen much from him, but he stepped up. 7 targets, 6 receptions, 77 yards, and a touchdown. I think that's outstanding. The pass for the touchdown was sensational.
Good. He sealed the end of the game as well, catching the outside kick.
That's correct. Too. Yeah. Sleep celebration. So
huge.
I think that sort of
sums up. I think he's put Tom Brady's career to sleep easily.
Yeah. I think, yeah, if that was the nail in the coffin, Isaiah Likely's ended his career. Who have you got?
Look, I was going to go Kyle Hamilton, but I couldn't let this podcast just fall to the Baltimore Ravens. So I brought a little taste of the Broncos. Greg Dulcich, man. This guy picked up this year, pick 80 from UCLA. He was there to replace Noah Fant, who he obviously traded away and got wool pulled for Russell Wilson. but look, he was on IR for most of the year. But ever since coming back, he's basically been our leading receiver every week and also scoring touchdowns as well. So this week he had 4 receptions for 87 yards and was our leading receiver. And basically he got 3 first downs as well. So and. In a game like that, 21-17, at the end like that, he was able to bring out and fly. So that's why I like him, and got to bring a bit of Broncos country into it somehow. So, look, moving on to the offensive player of the week, I have gone Christian McCaffrey. Look, this guy, somebody stop him. Like, it was everything he was doing. He threw for a touchdown, he ran for a touchdown, and he caught for a touchdown. Like, it's over 150 all-purpose yards when you combine the three. Like, that man is... You thought Taysom Hill was good. This guy, fuck me dead. He's got something else going on.
Well, it was the first Triple Crown since, like, what, the early 2000s, I think?
Oh, my God, it's had to be a while.
I think it might have been LT, like the Daniel Tomlinson or something like that. But, a long time since we've seen Triple Crown, and CMC in his second week in a 49ers uniform has come out and done it. So it'd be interesting to see what he can produce in the coming weeks. But, yeah, I mean, he has to be... My guy's going to be a good contention for this offensive player of the week, but it's hard to compete with that. I've gone with Derrick Henry.
It's huge.
32 carries, 219 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Pretty much led the Titans to the victory, which he has done for a lot of his career.
Yeah, he's basically getting used to it now. I don't know how his back's not sore. Like, it's fucked.
Oh, he's been carrying the state of Tennessee. Well, sorry, I shouldn't say the state, Nashville, for quite a while now. So,
the old Volunteers game in Tennessee at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, well, that's right. so, defensive player of the week, who have you got?
Look, I've gone Isaiah Simmons out from the Cardinals. He just come in through hot. He did lose, but look, it's a strong day out. Five tackles, he forced a fumble and also caused a sack.
Yeah, Simmons is an interesting one. I suppose pick 8 for a linebacker. I know Roquan Smith, who we picked up, was pick 10 for a linebacker, but he hadn't started as hot. He came out of Clemson and looking really good. He could play any position on the field almost. He hasn't been that good in previous year or so, but he's really coming to his own now. That was one of his better games. He's been excellent and really standing up. Do you think the linebacker's a weird play in the first round?
Oh, I mean, if you get an out-and-out throbber, you just got to go for him. Yeah, it's like a running back, you know. Like, do you want to risk it running back early? If you've got a guy coming in that's just hot property, it's hard to let him fall.
Yeah, I think we've seen lately with the running back in the first round with Najee Harris. Man, that man's struggling. Like, I think
he's fallen off a cliff a bit, hasn't he?
Oh, massively. I think the Steelers have butchered the last few first-round picks that they've had, which is rare for them. But, yeah, look, moving on. We won't talk about the Steelers anymore. Like them. But you're still staying in division. Myles Garrett.
Huge.
Good game, and even better in Halloween. This man's set up for Halloween at his house. He's dressed up as Vecna. I think he's just undefeated during Halloween season. And he was undefeated on the field. He was excellent.
He just haunts quarterbacks, doesn't he? He's just the stuff of nightmares. I don't know how... It takes a brave man to stand up against him. But to do it while he's actually hunting and trying to feed, that's disgusting. Like, that man may as well have rabies. That's how hard he attacks the quarterback. And you're going to stand in front of him and stop him?
Yeah, there's absolutely no chance. If he's throwing helmets, then we're absolutely cooked.
So, look, that's our player awards. We'll be putting them up on the socials. Make sure to vote and we'll get them up. But then looking on to our player stonks. Look, as we always talk about, what's rising, what's falling in the league, who's been good, who's been bad. For me, myself, this week, rising has been Tua Tagovailoa. Since his return from injury, the concussion, lights out, man. 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, over 600 yards. A plus 75% completion rate as well. He's just been absolutely dominant for them.
Oh, I find it hard to say a bad word about Tua at the moment. Like, there's so many knocks on him coming in into the draft and coming into his first season. He's putting Miami in a position to win every week when he's playing. When he was concussed, they looked like a completely different team. They struggled. They lost.
Yeah.
He's back. I know it was the Lions, but they won.
Yeah, well, they won the week before too against the Steelers as well. So, and I mean, look, it just shows. It's you're pushing against the grain. Like, he's a left-handed quarterback. He's a run-first guy, and he's just come out and he's bowling.
Yep, no, I love that. That's fantastic. For me, rising this week, I'm going to go the trade deadline. Yes, there wasn't some amazing guys going in the front center, but 10 trades on the final day. There was some big ones. Miami was a big player in that. The Bills were a big player in that. Even the Vikings were a decent player in that with TJ Hockenson. I think that's an underrated one that will go, didn't go unnoticed, but we'll see how that plays out for the rest of the season if that puts them to that next level.
Certainly got tongues wagging for sure, I think, and that's the big thing. For me, I'm selling, look, Rodgers and the Packers, their trade period. Again, shocking. Like, I know that Rodgers may be a disinterested man, but, like, they just are not helping themselves as well. And I think at the end of the day, everyone is looking at each other going, why did you not go to Denver? Like,
correct.
You've absolutely butchered yourself. And I could see something like this forcing him into retirement next year. Absolutely. I could see him not giving a fuck and just walking away from it all.
Oh, he'll finish off his deal. And I mean, he's going to make money in the media. He's going to do something. Like, this man's got plenty of options, so it doesn't really matter what he's doing. It's hard to give up for the love of football. I know he still loves the game.
Yeah.
He's weird about it. But, yeah, I think the decision, you guys could be on a completely different trajectory. This is the biggest what if of if you picked up Aaron Rodgers.
Huge.
Yeah. For me, we talked about him earlier in the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, it's plain and simple, they're fucking terrible. They are
awful.
Really, really bad. Got the goose egg against the Saints, who have been letting in a lot of points this season. I don't think the Saints are back, but I think Vegas are dog shit now. Whether it's Josh McDaniel, whether it's Derek Carr, Devontae Adams must be absolutely punching the air right now because, like,
he's had him off. Yeah. I don't know what the go is because they did everything right, and then just for whatever reason, it's not turning up on the field.
Well, I mean, it's funny because we talked about the AFC West being hotly contested. I mean, the Chiefs look streaking ahead now. You guys are pretty mediocre.
Justin Herbert's second year syndrome. Like.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. Herbert and Chargers are looking not that great. We thought this is going to be the most hotly contested division in the in the NFL, and it ends up being the East in both conferences. But yeah, look, the Raiders for me are terrible, and I'm happy to see it because Raiders fans carrying on last year did my head in.
We love that. So yeah, that's the player awards this week, and we'll probably look at moving on and checking out week 9. I'm gonna go for a piece. We're back. Sorry, quick toilet break. That Mango XPA runs through pretty quick, but it's good stuff.
Yeah, I've enjoyed mine. I've already polished mine off. We'll rate it. I'll have to keep my mind in. We have now put week 9 coming up. That's the midpoint of the season, as Zach just mentioned before. We'll go through most games, and I'm curious to find out, like, we'll talk about who we think will win and if any of these teams we can put a line through them halfway through the season. So
yeah.
Eagles, Texans.
Texans done.
Yeah, okay. So line through the Texans, I agree. Eagles win this.
Easily. You can take them with the line. They'll win 30 plus.
30 plus. Wow, take that to the bank, wing it podcast, but there's a lock. All right, we'll move
on. No, we'll go big.
Yeah.
I think take them 30 plus, you could take the receivers for overs and just fucking ram these blokes.
Oh, that's stiff on the Texans. I know they're 1-5-1, but yeah. Look, yeah, I think line through the Texans, and we'll move on to the Monday slated games. Chargers and the Falcons.
Look, I think whoever loses this game, you could put a line through them.
Wow.
I mean, Chargers are the tough one because, as we said, they've kind of been a bit of second-year syndrome. They've had a lot of injuries. But I just can't see them being able to keep up. And you look at, like, a wild card spot, like, especially in the AFC, you've got sort of two teams, like the Bills and the Dolphins, who will take one, irregardless of who comes first. Like, someone will take that wild card spot. Yeah. No one from your division will probably take a wild card spot, but you're sort of looking at other guys. I think there's not going to be enough. You know, Titans in their division, possibly someone might pop up in a thing. It's hard to say because especially now that you've got the three, like there's a lot more scope for that.
Yeah, there is. I suppose there's teams that you think these guys are no chance and they end up scraping that 7 seed, don't they?
Yeah, we may have a negative 7 seed this year, I reckon. Oh,
that would be horrible. But yeah, looking at the Chargers, I suppose, as you said, if they lose this week, they've got a upcoming schedule of 49ers, Chiefs, Cardinals, Raiders, Dolphins, Titans, Colts, Rams, and the Broncos. Doesn't really bode well for them in the back end of the season. So you're right. If this is a loss to the Falcons, I think you could safely almost put a line through them. If Falcons win this, they're every chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah, I really think they could be, not a dark horse, but they could come through and it'd be a troubling team to play week one, I think, playoffs.
Yeah.
The guys like Mariota, Patterson's healthy as well. See, you're missing him.
Yeah.
Kyle Pitts is starting to find some form. Drake London's been really nice for them. Although, is he injured? I don't know.
Not actually sure. It's a weird one. I haven't seen much of him recently.
He really
hasn't noticed me for me that much, but we still keep seeing his name pop up in the rookie headlines.
Well, and he's still their top receiving getter. So he must be still piling on some
Doing a bit. Yeah. All right, so we move on to the Bears and the Dolphins.
Bears are dead. Like, they are dead. We said they're tanking for Bryce Young.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Is it Bryce Young number one?
Yeah, okay.
I
mean, you got to look, like, they're only one loss, and that loss, he put up 50 points against you guys. Like,
yeah, coming off an injury, too. So, look, it's probably fair. Look, CJ Stroud has his downfall. Will Levis showed last week against Tennessee.
Will Levis showed that he's there, but he's not up to like that. I think CJ Stroud's a really good quarterback, but he hasn't been tested. I think he's won.
Yeah.
And he just tosses the ball up, and he's got, like, absolute guys like Smith and Jigba and those guys.
Yeah.
That's right. And he doesn't even have to open his eyes, really. So, I don't know. And then, obviously, your guy coming through.
Yeah, Hooker's the issue with him is he's 25 years old, so he's a little bit older.
I think that works.
I agree.
The older guys might be a bit better, especially with a quarterback. Like these days, Tom Brady's playing, he's 45. Like these guys are playing at 35, 40. Still a 10-year career.
I was actually thinking about that today. I was thinking he's 25. You make a play on a quarterback that comes into a team that's already built. Like they've just got to play well enough and be mature enough.
Yeah.
So some of these guys coming in don't mature for a few years. You might get them in a decent prime of their life early, potentially win something, and then move on.
You don't have to be crazy. Like, you could be like a Kirk Cousins or like a prime Case Keenum. I mean,
Elite Joe Flacco.
Carson Palmer or something like that. Like, Christ.
Oh,
like,
there's names you could pump out for days that have just like Nick Foles.
Elite average.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, you can come in and you can win a few. I mean, like, Flacco shouldn't have won a bloody Super Bowl that. Okay. Let's not get too far, but come on. You can win a couple of games. I mean, it's only you got to win like 3 games in the playoffs, to be honest.
Correct.
And, finals wins, they can come.
Do enough in a season, get there, and, as you said, 4 wins now gets you a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Easier said than
done. Yeah, well, I suppose, like, if you come seventh, it would be four wins. But if you got the week off, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. Well, that's fair. So, well, look, that's going to be a contentious issue going through the rest of the season. We'll still stick with Bryce Young being QB1 coming out of the draft, whoever takes him. But we will put a line through the Bears. Dolphins should win this comfortably. We'll move on to Bengals-Panthers.
Yeah, I could see this would be a one you'd have to look at for Panthers' money line, like, surely. I think the way that the Bengals, obviously, there's a big chance at home, I believe, that they bounce back, and they bounce back well. However, just the way that PJ Walker and DJ Moore and that are playing, it'd be tough to, like, if you're a value guy, there's your value.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a hard one. I think Bengals win this purely on the fact that they just bounce back. They always do this. They play like shit, and then they put up a performance, and everyone goes, oh, they're back. The Bengals are back. They're back to their form. They're a top five team.
I mean, we said it 2 weeks ago. Joey Burrow was back, didn't we? Like, he said those exact words.
We fall into the trap for young players all the time. Like, they've had two wins against mid opponents, and we said, oh, they're back. And then they got blitzed by the Browns with Jacoby Brissett under center,
yeah.
And they're back to reality.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think it could be interesting the way that the Panthers come through. I don't know, like, just PJ Walker, that XFL type thing, he just brings that swagger with him, doesn't he?
All right, well, we might still get that one. Probably not going to put our money on it, but that's
right. Put your money in my mouth, is
that? Yeah, that's right. NFC North battle of the bottom, really. Packers Lions.
Fuck, I think it's going to be interesting again. Another value one. Lions at home. Packers. I mean, it's tough to see because Packers, four losses in a row. Does Rodgers get five? But Lions, a team that, if they get scores early and fast, they could run one up on them, really, and they might be hard to catch.
Yeah, that's the issue. He's not throwing to anyone, and they need to throw to someone if you're falling behind. And yeah, if the Lions can get a head start, a jump on them, they'll be chasing shirts all day. And I think, yeah, I'm actually tempted to take Lions money.
Yeah.
I don't know who's favourite.
It'd have to be the Packers.
You'd think it'd have to be the Packers. So we might have to see what the handicap is for that game. So
I mean, like, a 1-16 versus 3-5. Even Sportsbet's not putting the favourite money on that. Like,
no, it's true. So look, we'll put a line through both of those things, will we?
Oh, it's Rodgers. Rodgers is Rodgers. It's hard, but look, the way that they're going, the way that the Vikings are going, yeah, I think you go one or two more weeks and they don't get wins. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll move on to the Colts and the Patriots. We said the Colts were dead. Did the Patriots win this?
Yeah, I think Mac Attack falling into another young trap. Mac Attack's back after last week. Oh, so. Through a couple of
intercepts, but that's all right. You got the win. That's all you need.
Look, I think just the kick up the ass to know that, like, Bill is a hard ass, and I think he probably already knew this, but, like, there's no opportunity for fucking up because Bailey Zapp was in like that. What was it? Three drives? Not even.
Yeah, pretty much.
And he was in. So I think, look, that's a good lesson for young players at home.
Yeah.
You know. There is no opportunity for mistakes in this league, and I think he got shown that. And then he showed why, and he led another game. So I think they come away with the win there. Colts, as you said, they've just not been able to do anything, especially with Matty Ryan. Like, even with Matty Ryan gone, he's clearly not the cancer of that team. That team is the cancer.
Yeah, they're really struggling. And they could be a team that's going for a quarterback. Could they tank? Maybe. I'd put a line through them only because Tennessee keep winning. I didn't think Tennessee were going to be that good. Colts could still make the playoffs. But I think you could almost probably put a line through them. Yeah. Patriots almost got a line through them for me.
Yeah, I think they, again, could be a flirt for that seventh seed, but it may be a bridge too far if the Jets start pulling another couple of wins out of their ass.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go continue on to an AFC East team matchup, Bills-Jets.
Yeah, look, Bills win this, and they win this absolutely well. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Zach Wilson's been playing quite well lately. The whole Jets team as a whole has been quite nice to watch. You know, they're not amazing, but they're not bad either. But I think at risk of learning a lesson, they will be taught one this weekend.
Yeah, I think that loss on the weekend was a pretty disappointing one for them. They're 5-3 now, and I mean, no one expected that. They could have been 6-2. Sitting at 6-2 after 8 weeks, you would have laughed me out of this building. Mm. But look, they'll probably get a loss here. We talked about their rookies. We looked at rookie rankings before first round picks. Three of them, Jermaine Johnson, Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner, are in the top six ranked.
Could be exciting to watch Sauce go up against Josh Allen, hey?
Yeah, will he get digs?
I mean, you'd just want to, wouldn't you? Yeah. Like, you got to put form on form, surely. I mean, yes, it'll be a big task no matter what, but why not, hey? Because otherwise he'd go up against, what, Gabe Davis or whatever.
Yeah, which is still a formidable opponent, but yeah, you're right. Like, I think you want to test yourself against the best. because you can keep calling yourself like the best wide cornerback or one of the best cornerbacks, but if you're not going against wide receiver one, it's hard to.
Well, I think it'd have to be Salah, because there's no way Sauce Gardner would be backing down from that challenge.
No, not a chance. So Bills, Jets, I'm not going to put a line through yet. I think they're doing well enough to make that 6-7 seed.
Yeah, correct.
But Bills looking great for the AFC. We'll move on to Vikings and the Commanders.
Both teams that seasons are alive. And as you sort of said, Taylor Heinicke, he can pull one out of his ass quite easily. I don't think he does it this week. Vikings just going to be too good. I think how they use their new players will be fun to watch. Mm. You know, getting in those new guys. Hockenson, absolutely. He could just command so much footy. Or, as we said, that mental side of it, he could take space away and JJ could just run riot.
Yeah, it's very true. Do we see most of these guys that were traded play this week for the teams that they're not used to? I know Roquan Smith probably will because we're not playing until Monday.
Mm.
But do we see most of these guys take the field?
Oh, I mean, like, yeah, surely. It sort of depends. Like, you're not... Yeah, maybe Hockenson may or may not. I don't know. You stumped me on that one. I think so.
Yeah.
Fuck it, why not?
I think for a tight end... He knows his routes. If he
your routes or your blocking. Like
that's right. I think for that sort of position, I think you're absolutely right. Like he probably will get the game. Vikings win. Commanders season could take a dive here. 4-4 is not too bad.
No, it's sitting pretty.
But you're sitting in a pretty tough division at the moment. So yeah, look, I might put a line through them.
Yeah. Look, Raiders and Jags, they're both dead. This is a spoon bowl.
Oh man, this stinks. This like Raiders probably win this game. But I don't have either of these teams enough to talk about.
Just out of pure sheer will, wouldn't they? Like it wouldn't even be good football. It would just be falling over the line. Like
you think, at least if this is a high scoring affair, you'd enjoy it. But I don't even know if it's going to be that.
I don't know.
Yeah. So this will move us on to an NFC matchup: Seahawks, Cardinals. D Hop's back. Cardinals.
That's again good. Like Kyler Murray, D Hop. I don't want to put a line through them just yet because they can be very explosive. And like, look, I surely, if I had half a brain, I would think Seahawks have done enough to prove that they belong up there.
I'm still not confident.
No, not at all.
They fill me with zero confidence every week, but they still keep winning.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, so in the desert, it might be pretty hard. D-Hop still a top five wide receiver?
100%. You just showed, like, he came back and all they did was just feed him the football. Mm. And even though you knew it was going to go to him, what did he get, like, over 10 receptions?
Yeah, well, that's right. 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, like... They still couldn't stop him. Like, you know what's going to happen, but they still couldn't stop him.
No, he'll probably end up being top 10 receiving yards, even though he missed half the season. So, I actually don't know who I'm going to pick in this. Do we still stick with the Seahawks? I don't know why I'm so bullish on them.
I know, it's weird. Like, I really just think, like, my head goes Seahawks, but my heart goes Cardinals. It's like, it's weird. What do you pick? And I think, like, my gut wins out every time, my heart, and I think I'm sitting on the Cardinals for an upset again.
Yeah, we'd probably just have to go D-Hop reception, so that's fine. Bucks, Rams, both teams only winning 3 games so far. I don't know what the hell is with this.
I mean, this could be a fun game. Yeah. Like, this NFC Championship rematch.
Yep, true.
Have they played this year already?
No, because they're not in the same division, so they only play once.
Oh, fuck, why do I think they're in the same division?
Yeah, Southwest.
Forget it. Yeah. Anyways... look, it's a redraw again. This is like, does Tom Brady bounce back? Oh, does Stafford bounce back?
Yeah.
But I think probably the thing is Stafford is really, really unwell. Like we knew he throws a fuck ton of interceptions and it's becoming to a point where they're not able to keep up.
Yeah, it's true. Like these teams are really struggling. The hangover's real for the Rams. They should have enough to win this though.
Like, especially when you talk about like the Bucs injuries, hey, like... They're missing some pieces.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, look, yeah, the Bucks. Yeah, you probably say, would you put a line through either of these teams yet?
Yeah, I think I would. Rams, I don't see going back-to-back at all. And I think just Bucks-wise, just like, I don't know, just everything that's going on with Tom and things like that, you just can't see him being able to pull through in the tough moments.
Yeah, there's too many distractions, I think, at the moment. So I think the Rams probably get away with this one purely on the back of Cooper Kupp.
Looking at that, I mean, and this won't be a good game either. It's 2-5-2 teams, but the Titans do not, like, this is head and heart knows that these guys are not going to win against the Chiefs.
No. No, well, that's right. I mean, they've got enough to stop Derrick Henry, and at this point in time, that's all you need to do. The Titans' defense is exceptional.
Mm.
They're actually really good. But I suppose that's what's carried them the last few years anyway. Like, Tannehill's not that great.
No.
And they're still winning. They led the AFC last year. So I think Chiefs win this. Derrick Henry still probably goes for 100, 150.
Yeah, and look, then tying it up is the Monday night game. Look, Ravens v Saints. Again, if you guys win this, I think you put a line through the Saints. Again, we talked a lot about the Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston thing. Mm. And I think, look, it just goes to show that no matter who they put in, they're just not going to win regardless, are they?
Nah, statement game for us. This win here puts us at 6-3 going into the bye.
Mm.
I think that's a pretty good position to be in with losses to decent teams.
And the injuries you guys are carrying as well.
The injuries you
look at the guys that you're sort of missing and things like that. Getting that week off. At one, you've got that extra long week. So what, you played like Thursday night and now you're going all the way to Monday.
That's right.
So you've got an extra long break.
Yeah.
Then you go into the bye. I think that gives you the ultimate time to prepare for these blokes.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think our draw is favourable for the run home. I think we can still probably snag away with 10 wins for the season, which will get us into the playoffs.
Yeah, and you look set to take your division. Like, I know I put a line through you, but you will take your division.
Yeah, look, I think you're right. But, yeah, look, and that's up for us for week 9, I believe.
Yeah, perfect. Look, we'll touch on some college football quickly. I know we've been going for a long time, so we like to indulge ourselves on some of these ones, don't we? But I think the biggest thing to come out of it was the first committee rankings came out. And look, Tennessee managing to leapfrog everyone and go number 1, Ohio State go 2, and Georgia fall down to 3. I think that was the biggest surprise for me. Clemson also jumped Michigan to go to 4.
Yeah, I think that's almost the biggest surprise for me than us being 1. I can see why we won, and I said to you, I can see them putting us 1 because they've got a hard-on for Bama. They've always had a hard-on for Bama, but their biggest hard-on is for Clemson football.
Absolutely.
Their wins this year, yeah, some of them have looked okay.
Look, I mean, they got some ranked wins, but that's early against, like, NC State, who have basically dropped out of the 25 now.
That's right. And, I mean, that was the issue with Tennessee as well. We have wins of teams that have now dropped out, but we've also got wins against an LSU team that's come hot, and we pants them.
Yeah.
And we've got a win against Bama, who are still 6. But TCU, for me, I mean, Michigan should be 4.
Absolutely.
TCU should be 5 or 6 because their wins have been, I think, better than what...
That's good. Like, some of those comeback wins have been outstanding.
I understand. Against K-State, and there's another one that they... is it Texas?
Did they say Oregon State? Yeah, they've been Texas.
Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and, I mean, they got... I mean, they flogged them, didn't they?
Yeah, in the end, it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
they just absolutely pants them. Shout out to the boys over in Europe. TCU, fuck off, eh?
Yeah, correct. I mean, Dean Medved and James Butt's the biggest fans of TCU in Australia.
After meeting one girl. Talk about love at first sight, huh?
Yeah, correct. Boys have really fallen hard there. But, yeah, I think they're the ones that are the biggest hard done by. Clemson, do they still make the top 4 if they win out?
They will, yeah, absolutely. Because they win out... they likely win their ACC championship game.
Yeah.
So you take away, and I think, again, it's going to be a top 4 type thing because obviously you guys played Georgia now, so that basically rules out one of you guys. Someone's got to lose this week.
Yeah, someone's got to lose. That would put, that, I mean, if we win out and we beat Georgia, that's a 1-loss Georgia, but they won't play a SEC championship.
That's the thing. They won't play a SEC championship, and I think that's the thing. So you've got a SEC champion, you've got a Big Ten champion, you've got an ACC champion, and a Big 12 champion, potentially if Ohio State and Michigan run through.
Well, they've got to play each other, don't they?
Well, that's true, actually, as well. I suppose, like, TCU, because Pac-12, we got Oregon, UCLA took a loss. It's hard to see it. The USC one loss as well. It's hard to sort of see, unless one of the other big divisions goes one loss, Pac-12 sliding in. So yeah. I think that's where they get in on the ACC, Clemson.
I think if they lose to Notre Dame this week, that potentially puts a line through them. That's a big game this weekend.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, Clemson's...
that's sort of their last one, I think.
I think so, because it plays a big part in how their season finishes.
Yeah, because their run home is Louisville, Miami, and South Carolina. And then likely they play, I think, UNC.
Yeah, not a huge motor stretch up, really.
No, not at all. Yeah, UNC sitting in top 4-0. Next is Duke, 2-2. So.
Yeah, well, I guess we talked about Tennessee and Georgia. Predictions for that game? It's in Athens, so it's an away game, so we're not going to have our home crowd. Georgia's going to pack it out. We'll have some decent amount of fans there.
Mm.
But is our offense enough to go past that stout defense, or is the defense going to be too
good? It's really is offense versus your offense versus their defense. Because look, Stetson Bennett, the mailman, has been all right this year, but he's not amazing. He's not running championship level. Not that he was even last year as well. Like,
no.
He was carried. No. But I think, look, they've given up some points in stature, so I think you guys will be able to put some pressure on it for sure. It's whether they're able to deliver on their offense. I think that'll be the key. Because if you're able to put some early pressure on them, force some 3 and outs, and get your offense rolling, because your offense will score points.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. We're going to score points still. I think our defense is what it comes down to. We played really well last week. If we can continue that, we can win. But yeah, if our defense isn't good enough, Georgia will score enough points, and their defense will hold up enough. Yeah, I don't know. This is it could be anything.
It's a flip of a coin, isn't it? Like, you just it'll be a good game to watch, but it could be anyone's shot.
Yeah, for a legitimate shout for a title, we have to win this.
Well, you have to. Like, you're out otherwise, because you guys are both in the same division. Yeah. It basically leads in. I think Alabama get let in, so they have a chance at SEC championship, I suppose.
They do, but they also play LSU this weekend.
Yeah, so, and that'll be the tiebreaker for them, because LSU, Ole Miss, and Alabama all sit at 4-1 at the moment.
Yeah, okay, so that's tricky.
Yeah, so look, it's all to play for in college football. After this week, 3 games left. It's getting good.
It's getting huge, and I think you'll have to, if you're, anyone's up at 6:30 a.m. on a Sunday, I know I will try and be to watch that matchup. I think we can see probably the path towards the CFP is going to be starting this week, I'd say. Like, we saw the first rankings. We saw some big matchups coming up. So get excited for that. Now, look, that wraps us up. We will head back to our beer review. We haven't got a name for it yet. Maybe Teddy Brewski review. But look, that's a work in progress. So just to bring you back into the picture, Capital Brewing Co., which is, I'd say, Canberra's best brewery. There's a fair few popping up. And Ben Spoke are pretty good.
I'm a big Ben Spoke man, but I do like Capital, and they do some really nice ones. And for a guy like, for me, I'm your standard, like, Carlton Dry, Great Northern, BB drinker.
Yeah.
This is an XPA. I don't really delve into the lighter stuff, but this is actually quite a nice one, I got to say. I've had Bango beers in my time. You know, your standard Matzos and that.
Yeah, which I think this is a little different to that. I think this is sort of a subtle. It's not like a full Mango flavor.
Yeah, yeah, because that one, you go, oh, I can have one or two. This you could session on. I could session on this. I'd be a couple of Red Bulls deep and absolutely enjoy myself. Take 300 out of the ATM and be right laughing.
Oh, that's right. If you got a few packets and you want to just enjoy this sitting back on the deck with the boys in the nice summer weather that Canberra is producing at the moment. Look, we'll get this review out of 5 helmets. What do we got?
I got to give it a good 4. Yeah.
4, yep.
I'm quite happy with it.
That's what I was thinking. I guess we're setting the benchmark here pretty high. It was either 3.5 or a 4, but I'm a sucker for more of a sour beer, so I'm going to have to sit with 4 helmets out of 5.
Yeah, it's great. I think this is a good start to it, and I'm really... Look, I finished uni, back in full-time work, so I'm more than happy to delve into a midweek beer.
Yeah, perfect. So, look forward to that. We'll put out the reviews on our page as well as all our things to vote for this week for our awards. I think that wraps us up for this week. Is there anything else?
No, that's about it. Just look, make sure you move with your feet. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe and everything, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.